The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray.
Lord, as we come before your word, we humbly ask that you will work here, not only here, but in the parish hall where our children also hear the word, throughout this building, that the word of God will go forth by the Holy Spirit and bring honor and glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, thank you. It's good to be back. 2-week vacation. I appreciate you allowing me to go on vacation. And we went to a place in Florida called The Villages. May have heard of it. One of our good friends and former choir member, Donna Howard, lives there. And she went on a mission trip for 2 weeks to Vietnam. And she says, "Well, come down and stay in my house. Use my car." We got there on a Monday night at midnight from the airport taxi, and we pulled into the place, and as soon as the cab stopped, and I got out and I looked around, and I said to Linda, "We are in the Truman Show." And some of you know what that means. The Truman Show. It was a 1998 satire about a man played by Jim Carrey named Truman. And Truman was, from birth, placed in this constructed reality TV set. And everybody in the thing, they're all actors. The whole thing is fake, except Truman's the only one that doesn't know it. He thinks it's the real world. And this perfect little idyllic town called Sea Haven, where everything is clean, everything is pristine, everything neat, where everyone is happy, smiling, and there's no poverty, no crime, totally controlled environment. The Truman Show. In the 1960s, a Michigan businessman named Harold Schwartz started selling land in Central Florida through mail order sales. And then in the 70s, he decided to develop a mobile home park. And he called it Orange Blossom Gardens. In 1992, they changed the name to The Villages. Between 2010 and 2019, The Villages were the top-selling master planned community in all of the United States. It's called the Disney World for retirees. Now, there are some 140,000 people that live there. Over 50 golf courses, 700 holes of golf. Golf carts everywhere. 3,000 social clubs that you can join or be a part of. And swimming pools everywhere you look. And yes, there are over 30 roundabouts in the villages. I am now an expert. There's churches everywhere. Good churches, big churches, small churches, great churches. When we were there, one of the weeks we went to Donna's church, a church called Live Oaks Community Church. It is a mega church, and you know, it's okay. No criticisms of it. Big place, thousands of people. And when you pull into the parking lot, they'll say, are you going to inside church or outside church? Because there's a big screen outside in the parking lot. And you could do church under the trees in the parking lot. And there's a lot of people that do that. Now, they have what you would expect, a band, music. There was one surprise, though. One surprise for me. About halfway through the service, I started looking around. You know, and as I said, well over 1,000 people. I started looking around, and I'm telling you, I did not see one person under 60. Not one. I did not see one child, one teenager. All of these people, and no one under 60. I mean, this was amazing to me because, you know, my whole life, and you read church growth things, and you go through programs, and people talk about church growth, and we know that kids are important, and young people are important, and they are. Nobody's denying that. But it always seems like, you know, if you have a group of older people, and there aren't any kids or hardly any kids, they're doomed, right? You get a sense, I get a sense from people that you're doomed. You better scurry around and get these kids in, get these young people in. But here was this place with all of these retirees. The preacher that day was a man named Chris Hulk. And after church, a couple at the church invited us over to their house for lunch, and we had a nice time. And they told us that Chris Hulk was actually the pastor emeritus. He was the founder, the planner of this church. The regular pastor was off on this mission trip to Vietnam. And so Chris Hulk came and took that day and preached the sermon. And here's how they said it happened. They said there's a book about how this happened. I says, oh, really? What's the name of it? And it's called, and I got it, Play Hard, Pray Hard, Finish Well. Short book, and it tells the story of how Live Oak Community Church, and like I said, it's this church, and then they have all these satellite churches all around the area.
really thriving community. It tells the story of how it began, how it was founded. And Chris Hulk said, you know, going to a retirement community is like going off to college, except you have money. He said, you move into a new place, you make new friends, you decide what extracurricular activities to join, which church you're going to go to, or if you're even going to go to church. It's just like going to college, but you have some money. And he explained what actually gave him the vision for this church and the impetus for this church for retirees. Here's what he says about a guy tells this story. When my granddaughter was a little girl, I used to sing a song to her that went like this. All 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all good girls go to heaven. When they get there, they will say, we love Jesus every day. One day, I overheard her singing the song in another room. And she sang, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good grandpas go to heaven. When they get there, they will say, golf, 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 every day. That changed his perspective on how he wanted to finish his life. And so he started this church with the vision that here are a group of people that at this stage in their life, they have time, they have energy, they have some money that they've saved up, and they want to serve. They don't want to just spend all of their time at potlucks or, you know, doing whatever. They want to serve God. And so at this church, that's what they do. They go on all of these mission trips. Donna is 77, and she's in Vietnam on a mission trip. Last year, she was in Cuba and Uganda. They just have all of these trips, and they said the key for people who are retired for mission trips is they got to be comfortable. You know, you can't send people to Africa like with a little straw cot, you know, 60 people in their 60s and 70s with a little straw cot and send them off on a mission trip. He says they want to go, they can go, but, you know, it has to be comfortable. But they do mission trips and service trips constantly. They're always going to places where the hurricanes go in Florida and serving and rebuilding. They have weekly Bible studies in the homes. They divide up into what they call encore groups and have all of these Bible studies in homes. When you arrive there, there are just dozens and dozens of retired people, and they've got green vests on, and they're everywhere. They're in the parking lot, they're setting up cones, they're directing cars, and they're telling people, you know, they're parking cars, and they're doing stuff. They work on shoeboxes. They send out 30,000 Samaritan shoeboxes a year. And it's an all-year deal for them. They meet once a week. They have a group of people that meet once a week, and they pack shoeboxes, and they make stuff, they sew, they knit, whatever. But the shoebox thing for them is a every day. It's an all-year thing. 30,000 they've sent out. And their mantra is this, and I heard people say it. I didn't know until I got the book that, you know, it was kind of the vision statement or the mantra of the people. The people that we ate lunch with said it, and I heard others say it while I was there. If you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. Paul writes to the Thessalonians. He has a lot to say in this text today about idleness, about work. Now, These were not retired people. That wasn't the problem there, that they were just not wanting to work. There were some other problems there, mainly that false teachers had entered and started to teach that the coming of Christ had already happened. They even possibly faked a letter with Paul's signature. It's an early letter, around AD 51, and the false teachers have persuaded the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord has come and that they missed it. Add to that that there is persecution going on and they're suffering for the Christianity. You could see where they might believe that the tribulation was already upon them. And in this chapter 3, there's a problem with idlers. There's a problem with people who have decided, for some reason, perhaps they feel it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It was what the Hebrews said in Malachi. You have said, it's vain to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter. And if Jesus is coming back any moment, or we're suffering, we're not getting anywhere, we're not going to do anything. Maybe they were just lazy. I don't know. But idleness, not working, not serving the Lord, is a problem that Paul spends a lot of time addressing. In the 80s, I had a good friend who had a dramatic experience. He came to Christ in a dramatic way, dramatic change in his life. He had a good job in East Pittsburgh at Westinghouse in the electrical division. He's just a young guy in his 20s. And one day he told us all that, he says, I quit my job. I quit that job. Because the Lord is coming back any day, and I want to be able to control my own time. And I'm gonna have my own painting business. He got a van and a couple brushes and decided to be a painter. But he said, I want to be in charge of my time and be able to preach to people and tell them that the Lord is coming. And he just, wow, we thought, man, you're nuts. You know, that was a good job. But anyway, I don't know. It worked out for him eventually. But that was, you know, that was the thinking that led to that. This letter by Paul is sent to encourage. Encourage believers in a time of persecution. Your work matters. Do not grow weary in doing good. When you get tired, when you get discouraged, when there's trouble in your life, it's easy to say, just forget it. Just forget it. It's not worth it. As they did in Malachi's day, as they did in Paul's day. Doesn't matter. Had enough. It's easy to get to the place where you say, you know what? I've done my share. I've done my share. I've worked many, many years. I've raised children. I've built houses, I've fixed houses, I've made a living, and I'm going to just coast. Do what I want to do. It's easy to come to that place. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that Chris Hulk doesn't say in his book that you shouldn't have recreation, because he says the first thing, right, is play hard, and they do play hard down there. I mean, let me tell you, those people, they know how to have fun. So they're not doing anything. They play hard and they have recreation. But the point is that we don't get weary in serving the Lord, that we understand what really matters. And you know, goodness is exhausting. Faithfulness is lonely. It's easy to grow cynical when you're carrying a big load on your shoulders. I understand that. But we have to keep serving. We keep serving when others quit. We keep giving when others take. We keep loving when others wound. And that's what really will bring true joy, true meaning, a real purpose in life, is what we do for Jesus and our service to Him. You know, do you ever remember a specific time and place when God spoke to you? We all have those times and places, and no matter how long ago it was, you can remember it, can't you? You can remember it. I can remember one of those. It happened about 24 years ago. It was around this time of the year, and I can tell you the exact spot where I was. I was driving my car. I could take you to a place called Lincoln Borough, okay? I knew exactly where I was on the road when it was like God spoke. I mean, it wasn't, you know, an audible voice from outside, but I know He was speaking to me. And I've told you this story, forgive me if it's a repeat, but in a place of trying to decide if I was going to leave my career and go to seminary, I believe God was calling me to go to seminary. It was a 3-year program. And my question to God that morning was, how do you not work for 3 years? You have a family, you have a home, you have a mortgage, you have a car, you have all these expenses. I had worked my whole life. I had never taken a dime from anyone. I have never received a government check. I have worked my whole life. And I said, Lord, how do I do this? This isn't going to work, going to seminary for 3 years and not having a job. And then it was like this voice came to me in my mind. Hey, Dave, what about that $150,000 in your 401k? I said, oh, no, that's retirement. No. Besides, I'll get taxed. I'll get penalized. No. I need that. Nobody spends their retirement money. Nobody. And then the voice just kept saying, okay, what are you going to do in your retirement, Dave? What are you saving it for? What's the goal? Are you trying to get somewhere and spend your life on a beach and just sit there? Or what exactly is the goal for retirement? And I realized that day that I learned a very important lesson, that there's just never a time in life when, well, this is my time, Lord. I put my time in. I did this. And, you know, you can have this part, but I want this part. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And that we're in this. We're all in this. We're in this to the very end. If you're not dead, you're not done. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.